Well, hello there, ladies and gentlemen. Good to see you again, and welcome back to Through the Wealth Lens. I'm Ryan Ruff, your moderator, and as always, I'm going to be joined by international private wealth advisor Hannes Grascher, our star of the show, and another fellow advisor in Max Grascher. We're going to be diving into another wealth management conversation, as we typically do on the show, and we've got a great guest that's going to be joining us, providing some insight and some expertise into their world. Here, why don't we go ahead and, Hannes, I'll throw it over to you. Why don't you take the honor of introducing today's guest for us?
Sure. Great to be back, Ryan. So as we have discussed on this podcast before, athletes and entertainers often come into sudden wealth as professionals, but are faced with some of the biggest challenges in maintaining financial stability and protecting their wealth over time. A vital piece of the puzzle for athletes and entertainers that successfully protect and build their wealth over time is having the right insurance and risk advisor in their corners. So that's why today I'm super thrilled to have Aaron with us. Aaron is part of our virtual family office team, and we've collaborated with her quite a bit in the past. She is really the queen of risk management, and really happy to have her share some of her experiences and thoughts on this topic.
Thanks so much for having me, Hannes. It's great to join you guys, and I'm psyched to talk more about this topic today.
So with today's episodes focusing on athletes and entertainers, when you first start a conversation with an athlete or entertainer, as a prospect, what are some of the important questions you ask them when you do your discovery and really trying to get, the solution for them right?
I think the first and most important thing is to understand kind of how they define their own wealth and what they want to do and what they hope to accomplish. I always tell people when we first started asking them questions that before I even start talking about insurance or insurance products, we're going to ask them questions about their lifestyle and what they want to accomplish and what they do with their time. And so sometimes I'll even make the joke, this is going to sound like I'm giving you a quiz about life insurance, but I promise you I'm not. I just want to understand your life. So what do they have? What kind of hobbies do they have? Are they big skiers? Are they big travelers? Because we want to understand the risk they take before we start even proposing solutions. Because if we don't understand what it is we need to protect and what they're doing to potentially put it at risk, then we can't really help. So that's where I usually start, is by kind of trying to get to know them and their goals and what they do in their day-to-day lives beyond what they do on the court or on the field.
Yes, and that really pairs perfectly with how we think about being rich versus being wealthy as wealth managers. In many professions that earn the amount of money pro athletes and entertainers see, we hear time and time again how making it to that level of wealth is the easy part, while keeping it is a true challenge. When someone becomes a public figure, he or she becomes a target. So you really have to be careful to surround yourself with a good team of people who can protect you from what we call the PEPs. And we see so many cases of athletes that lose their wealth after they stop playing. So that really becomes the most important part of our job, to protect our clients' wealth.
Yeah, and Ryan, there's so many people out there that really specialize in inserting themselves into the circles of, athletes and entertainers and celebrities, whatever area they may be in. 99% of the time, they're in the public eye, whether that's just walking around the city they're located in or on the road or on social media. There's always someone watching. So it's really important to be aware of the PEPs, as Hannes mentioned. So the predators, the exploiters, and the pretenders, because these people, they're very well trained and very good at deceiving others to really insert themselves within the circle, when in reality they're really there for their own gain, and they don't have that much to lose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can imagine. And in this moment of life where there's a lot of attention on you, it's hard to dot every I and cross every T if you're the athlete or you're the entertainer themselves. All good points here today, guys. But let's expand a little bit on this, Aaron. In your experiences, is there any question in particular that you think athletes or entertainers should be asked compared to, let's just say, the average wealthy person? So any questions very specific to that athlete or entertainer lifestyle?
Well, sure. Alanis talked a lot about being in the public eye and how once you sign that contract, once you start playing on people's TVs, coming into their living rooms every week, you have an additional spotlight on you. And I tell every client I have, it's a very different world. We all have computers in our pockets. So the second you rear end someone, they're on that iPhone looking up who you are. And so we deal with what we call, with perception of wealth almost as much as we do actual wealth. And that's even more magnified with athletes and entertainers, because I think that the public has a very, not necessarily, a somewhat misguided perception of how much money these people do make, especially after all the people around them take their cut. But something that keeps coming up that I think is really important to think about is a lot of athletes are very attached to their pets. And we see more and more them getting dogs. And I understand it. You're young, you're away from home, you've been sent to a place to play ball, you've never lived before. So you go out and you adopt that dog. And of course, now suddenly that dog taking a little nip at somebody in public is no longer an, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. It can become a major liability incident. So thinking about those little things that we do in our everyday lives can magnify the risk for someone like an entertainer. So I almost always ask, do you have dogs? Do they travel with you? Who takes care of them? Are they trained? We've seen dogs walking by a restaurant suddenly result in multi-million dollar lawsuits. So those kinds of little things can become even more important when you're in a high profile profession.
Yeah, and Aaron, and just like their experience with, growing up in neighborhoods where their dogs may be more protective or aggressive, how have you experienced, how do they view insurance, as a tool, and how do they utilize it? Is it something that they're more sort of guarded about? If you can maybe just talk about that a little bit.
Absolutely. I've heard many people in the professional sports world say that growing up, they knew about insurance from life insurance and having to have car insurance when you bought that car. And so it becomes almost more of an adversarial thing. It's something you're forced to buy. You have to pay it every month. And I think that the concept of using insurance, even things like liability insurance, as a tool to preserve wealth, as a tool to make sure that the things that you work so hard to buy and earn aren't on their way out the door, it's very different than what we're grown up thinking about. And even before I worked in this industry, thought I very much resented the fact that I was forced to buy insurance. It never occurred to me that, hey, this small thing that I pay every month could be what makes me whole, which keeps me from having to worry about it. So the idea of having enough liability insurance in place that will pay not only if you do get sued, but might also pay for your attorneys, might allow you to turn over that worry to someone else is not something you're raised knowing unless someone teaches you. So I think that's part of the important thing about having a good trustworthy team around these players is to be able to say, why don't you think about this a little bit differently? And rather than saying, hey, don't take any risk, saying this is what we can do about that risk, this is how we can mitigate it, and this is how we can help you get all the tools in your toolbox ready for that event should it happen.
That's great. That's great information, Aaron. And obviously in this day and age, as we mentioned before, social media is a major presence in the lives of athletes and entertainers. When you're first speaking with a client, is there anything in particular you like to ask them as it relates to social media? From someone as a risk advisor, coming from your perspective?
Well, this is where risk mitigation and risk strategy becomes almost more important than the insurance itself, because you want to have what you need in order to to protect yourself if that lawsuit, that third party lawsuit does come. But most importantly, you want to put yourself in a situation where you never have to use the insurance if you don't have to. So before I even speak to someone, I looked at their social media. I know what their social media presence looks like. I know if they're fighting with people in the comments. I know if they're sharing pictures that maybe they may or may not have gotten permission to share. And so I can speak to them and say, are you handling your own social media? Are you responding to your own comments? Do you have a team? Can we help you find a team to do that for you, to clean out that those inboxes and make sure that maybe the things you'd be knee-jerk tempted to respond to are gone by the time you even look at them? We want to put these players in a situation where maybe someone else has their six on these topics. And I really think if you've signed that professional contract, don't do your own social media posts, at least not without letting someone look over them first. It is so hard to have someone. I was reading, I won't incriminate anyone, not my client, but I was reading comments on X last night where people are brutal. I mean, saying things like, hey, maybe your check should bounce for your paycheck. You've been playing so badly. As someone who's out there putting your heart and soul into your job in a very public way, it's hard to read that stuff and not comment back. So when you put the team in place to maybe delete those comments or say, you know what, Max, maybe you should stay off X today. It's not a good place for you. Can be so helpful and can prevent even having to get that lawsuit, even having to go through that. And so I do look at social media. We look at it earlier and earlier, particularly with high school athletes and these NIL agreements and the things that are happening. We look very deeply at how clients are handling their social media, who's looking at it, and can give them some practical advice on how to save themselves the heartache of even reading it, much less being sued over something they said.
Yeah, and I mean, I think from whether it's on Instagram, X, TikTok, we see today, once something's out there, it's out there. You know, it can be, you can go back and delete it, but there's always someone watching once you're in the public eye. Maybe they weren't watching 10 years ago when no one knew who your name was, knew what your name was. Today, if something's put out there, someone is going to pick it up. So we see, you know, from a monetary perspective, someone who may be getting ready to sign a major contract or a record deal, or, you know, from an endorsement perspective, they have potential major income coming in from those sources that all of a sudden gets put at jeopardy. And again, it, you know, what we see a lot is, you know, you want to surround yourself with the right people, because the individuals that are around you most of the time, you know, they can influence some of the decisions that, you know, you make as an athlete or entertainer. So it's really important just to keep an eye on that, to make sure that other people aren't putting your image at risk in your brand.
If you want to find out who your real friends are, make a lot of money, right? Because anybody who ever thought you owed them $50 is going to call in that loan right then. And so it's really important, I always say, to have the Hannises and the Maxes of the world to say, hey, my buddy just came to me with a brilliant business proposition. Can you look this over and call them and tell them that, no, I don't want to invest in their underwater donut making factory. And so it's great to have the right people around you to have those conversations, or say, hey, Aaron, you know, my buddy wants me to have an event where there's, you know, we bring in exotic dancers and this and that and the other, and say, you know, let's think through what might happen if something goes wrong. And I'm not saying that they should never invest in their friend's business, or they should never have that event, or they shouldn't create that charity. What I'm saying is, let's all make sure that we're advising them on the risks and how they can protect themselves, and also letting them know not everything can be transferred to insurance and what are those things, so that even if they do decide to do it, at least they know what can and cannot be covered.
You know, Aaron, we very often talk about reputational health. I mean, we talk about financial health, that's our main job, but reputational health sort of touches on what you had said before. And when you look at what athletes can do after they're done playing, you know, as with endorsements or coaching or whatever it may be, to protect that brand that you are. Unfortunately, they're viewed as a brand more now than until they retire. But to protect that brand health and that reputational health can be so important in enabling them to do something after their playing careers are over. And so that's why we think it's such an important part, and also kind of funnels into the financial health aspect that we discussed.
And in a world where people can be canceled at the drop of a hat, I think it's also what you do and who you become can really go far in protecting that reputational health. So we protect their money. We put things in the right places. We make the right investments. We put the right insurance in place. But we also can work to make sure that the reputation they have is strong enough that if they do have a bad day and call somebody a name on Instagram, that the public is going to say, you know what, I know that player and he's a good person and we know he's a good person. And so maybe we're going to give him a little bit more grace today than we would if that reputational health weren't so closely guarded.
Now, this is a great conversation today, guys. I mean, risk management, risk mitigation, paramount for athletes and entertainers in their lives. A lot of insight from you today, Aaron. We really appreciate you and your expertise into this. And Aaron, for anybody out there that's listening or watching our episode here today, and they're hearing this idea of risk mitigation, and maybe it's one of those things that's either been on the back burner or they're realizing themselves, man, I should open up a conversation with an expert in this topic. What is the best way somebody could get in touch with you and your team, Aaron, to just open up that dialogue and see if there's a fit for you guys?
Well, I can easily be reached via email, which is just my first name dot last name at usi.com. So that's pretty easy. And I'm also on LinkedIn, social media. You can find me at Aaron KL Knows Risk on various social medias, and I'm always there to answer questions. And you can also find me through Hannes and Max. They can usually track me down as well. But I think the most important thing is just if you have to buy insurance, you might as well make it work for you. And I'm personally licensed in all 50 states, and so I'm always happy to help spitball or come up with ideas. So please, anybody who wants to have the conversation, I'm happy to have it.
Fantastic. Well, we appreciate you, Aaron. And Hannes, as you just mentioned a moment ago, you know, there's very much an intersection between risk and wealth management. So for folks out there that could benefit from a conversation with you and Max talking about the wealth components associated with their lives, how could they get in touch with you guys?
Sure. They can also reach us via email at hannes.grosher@ubs.com. Or just look us up on Google. We have a website that has a lot of these wealth management topics in it. And, you know, you can call us and we'd be happy to answer any questions.
Fantastic. Well, Aaron, Hannes, Max, appreciate you all for taking some time out of your busy schedules to jump on today and unpack this idea of these tough questions to ask, you know, for an athlete and an entertainer. But appreciate you all and looking forward to having you back on another one down the road.
Thanks, Ryan.
Thanks, Ryan.
Thanks for having us.
Of course. And hey, folks, we want to take one final moment, as we always do, and thank you all for stopping by and spending time with us on the podcast today. If you took anything away from today's discussion surrounding, you know, these tough questions, these considerations in the world of risk mitigation and risk management for athletes and entertainers, well, make sure you subscribe to the show then on whichever platform you checked us out on so that you don't miss out on great conversations like these where, you know, we dive deep into some wealth management or even wealth management adjacent topics as we did today so that you and yours can come out better for it on the other side. Before Hannes and Max and for Aaron, I'm Ryan. We're going to go ahead and say so long today, but we appreciate you stopping by and being with us on Through the Wealth Lens. This communication is intended to be used for educational purposes only and does not constitute a solicitation to purchase any security, insurance, or advisory service. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. An investment in any security involves significant risks, and any investment may lose value. Refer to all risk disclosures related to each security product carefully before investing. This commentary is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be relied upon as investment advice or the basis for making any investment decisions. The views and opinions expressed may not be officially those of UBS Financial Services Incorporated, and the firm does not verify nor guarantee the accuracy or completeness of the information presented. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients, UBS Financial Services Incorporated offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC registered broker dealer. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that clients understand the ways in which we conduct business, that they carefully read the agreements and disclosures that we provide to them about the products and services we offer. For more information, please review the PDF document at ubs.com/relationship summary.